Today is our final talk on our Life Worth Living sermon series, looking at Paul's letter to the Philippians. Over the last 2 months, we have seen how when we come to Jesus, Jesus transforms our lives and he gives us a new heart. He gives us new purpose, new attitudes, new responsibilities, new friendships, new confidence, new ambitions and new resources. And today we're thinking about the new generosity that God implants in our hearts as we draw close to him. Now, whenever we receive a gift, whether it be at a birthday or at Christmas or at some other time of the year, it's normal to thank that person who gave you that gift, whether that be a verbal thank you or whether that be writing them a card or a letter. Well, Paul's letter to the Philippians is, in essence, Paul's thank you letter for the gift that the Philippian Christians had sent to him in Rome. The church in Philippi had gathered together money and sent that money with Epaphroditus to Paul in prison in Rome. And Paul writes to thank the church for their generous gift. Now, generosity should be one of the marks of a Christian life. We are called to live generously and we're called to give generously, both with our time and our money and our talents, to serve others and to serve God. And we're called to be generous because the God we worship is himself generous. We worship the God who left heaven and came into the world as one of us and laid down his life for us on the cross. Jesus said, "Freely you have received, freely give." And generosity, true generosity, flows out of grateful hearts. Thomas Merton wrote this: "To be grateful is to recognize the love of God in everything God has given us. And God has given us everything. Every breath we draw is a gift of God's love. Every moment of existence is a grace. Gratitude, therefore, takes nothing for granted, is never unresponsive, is constantly awakening to new wonder and to praise for the goodness of God." And we see the outworking of a grateful heart in the lives of the Philippians, who gave generously to Paul, even though they themselves were extremely poor. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, holds up the Macedonian church, and Philippi was in Macedonia, as an example of Christian generosity, which all other Christians should seek to emulate and to follow. The church in Macedonia had heard that the church back in Jerusalem and Judah was suffering a terrible drought and was in great need. And so they gathered together a collection and sent it to their brothers and sisters in Christ in Jerusalem. And Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people." And when we give generously of our time, of our care, of our love, and of our money, we see the extraordinary impact it can have on others. So first of all, we see that giving generously brings joy to other people. And we see that in Paul's letter to the Philippians. It wasn't the money that Paul received that really mattered to him. It was what the money represented. In fact, Paul writes this. He said, "I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." You see, Paul realized that contentment isn't found in what we have. It isn't found even in our outward circumstances. Remember, Paul is writing this letter from a prison cell. It's only in Jesus that we discover true contentment for our lives. It is only Jesus that can truly meet our deepest desires and give us the peace that ultimately we are all searching for. Only He can satisfy our need for longing and purpose. As Saint Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in Jesus. And that's why Paul says that I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. So Paul had learned not to rely on his own personal resources, but he had come to rely upon Jesus. And this is a really important lesson for all of us. There can be no true contentment in life. There can be no true peace without Jesus. Now, going back to the gift that Paul received from the Philippians, as I said, the reason Paul rejoiced in this gift is not because he received this money, although I'm sure that was really helpful to him. It was what that money, what that financial gift represented. Because it showed to Paul that here were people that had remembered him. Here were people that cared deeply about him. In fact, he writes in this chapter that they are sharing in his troubles. And Paul makes it clear in this letter in verse 15 that at the beginning of his ministry, this was the only church to support him. Not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. Now, the gift from the Philippians demonstrated to Paul, who was under house arrest, that he hadn't been forgotten. Paul writes, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Now, the word at last in that sentence does sound a little bit harsh. It sounds almost as if Paul is chiding the Philippians, as though he's almost saying, finally, you've remembered about me. But actually, that harshness that we read in the English translation isn't there at all in the original Greek. And that's clear by what Paul goes on to write next, because he says, indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Now, Paul doesn't tell us why they lacked the opportunity to show their concern for him. It may have been that they simply didn't know where Paul was or how to reach him. Or maybe their own poverty prevented them from sending the gift sooner. We simply don't know. But the question, as I read this, for myself and for all of us, is how do we show our concern for others? It's often said that love is spelt T-I-M-E. How does the way that we use our time communicate our concern, our care, our love for other people? You know, it doesn't have to be a big thing that we do, as long as we do it with great love. You know, it can be as simple as giving someone a phone call and asking how they're doing. It could be speaking words of affirmation that build up people and encourage people. It might involve writing someone a card to say thinking about you or sending them an email. It might be buying them a small gift. It doesn't have to be expensive, but just a little gift to say, I've been thinking about you. I care about you. It might mean cooking them a meal or baking them a cake, especially if you know someone's ill and might be struggling to look after themselves. It might be asking if you can go for a walk with a friend or meet them for a coffee, obviously once restrictions allow. You know, Mother Teresa said, we can't all do great things, but we can do small things with great love. So how do we demonstrate our love and our care and our concern for those around us? So we see that giving generously brings joy to others. Secondly, giving generously brings joy to ourselves. When we give generously, not only does it bless others, but we ourselves are blessed. Paul in 2 Corinthians 9 writes this, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And one of the blessings that we reap when we give generously to others is the joy that comes from knowing that we are helping other people. There is a Chinese saying that goes, if you want happiness for an hour, take a nap. If you want happiness for a day, go fishing. If you want happiness for a year, inherit a fortune. But if you want happiness for a lifetime, help somebody. And it has been proven that when we help other people, it increases our own happiness and our own sense of well-being. On the website Action for Happiness, it says that scientific studies show that helping others boosts happiness. It increases life satisfaction. It provides a sense of meaning. It increases feelings of competence, improves our mood and reduces our stress. It can also take our minds off our own troubles too. Giving to others helps us to connect with people and meets one of the most basic human needs, relatedness. So giving generously brings joy to others. Giving generously can bring joy to ourselves as well. And thirdly, and finally, and most importantly, giving generously brings joy to God. Paul describes the gift that he received from the Philippians as a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. When we are generous in helping to serve other people, whether that's by giving financially or giving of our time, whatever it might be, the greatest reward that we receive comes from knowing that we are serving God by serving others. Jesus, in the parable of the sheep and the goat, says, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did for me. So when we give generously, it brings joy to God. So we are called to live generously because the God we worship is generous and has given us everything. We see that generosity brings joy to others, that generosity can bring joy to ourselves, and that most importantly of all, generosity brings joy to God. And we see in this letter that the secret to true contentment is found not in our possessions or in our outward circumstances, but it's found in our relationship with Jesus. And Paul concludes this letter in the same way that he began it, by talking about the grace of Jesus Christ. And grace summarizes the essence of Christianity. It is that undeserved gift that God gives to us. Undeserved and unearned gift that God lavishes on us. All the riches of God's love for us made possible through the life, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And everything, absolutely everything in the Christian life stems from this freely given and undeserved gift of grace. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your own example of the generosity that you have shown to us through your Son Jesus Christ, who came into the world to take upon himself our guilt and our sin, to die on the cross and to rise again. As we look at the example of Jesus, as we look at the example of Paul and the Christians in Philippi, we pray that you would release a spirit of generosity within our hearts, so that we will be generous with one another, with our possessions, with our money, with our time, with our talents, so that we may bless others, and by blessing others and by serving others, may bring blessing and honor to your name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.